Penguin Random House Audio presents The Girl Who Slept With God by Val Brilinski. Read for you by Abby Craden. To fall in love is to create a religion that has a fallible God. Jorge Luis Borges. On the last day of August in 1970, and a month shy of her 14th birthday, Jory's father drove his two daughters out to an abandoned house and left them there. The trip had not taken long. Her father piloted the car with resolute determination toward the very edge of town. He drove past the railroad tracks and the fish hatchery and the rodeo grounds, past the sugar beet factory and the slaughterhouse and the meatpacking plant. All the while, Jory stared out the window in a silent fury. Next to her in the Buick's back seat, Grace was practically unconscious. She lay slumped over with her head resting accidentally on Jory's shoulder, her drool dampening the upper portion of Jory's t-shirt. Jory gave her sister a shove and then turned toward the window. Black Cat Lane and Chicken Dinner Road and Floating Feather rolled past. Long, twisty lanes sided with fields of sugar beets and alfalfa and corn. Jory watched a lone mallard drop and skid like a bomber onto an irrigation ditch, while three goats perched King of the Hill style on a salvaged roof a farmer had put out for them. Her father continued on past several vast silagy-smelling feedlots, and then the fields grew even larger, and the scenery more sparse, and the houses less frequent. And finally he turned down a narrow, unpaved lane that Jory had never seen before. Then he stopped the car and opened the door. Jory refused to look up at the strange house where she and her sister were now to live. She sat in the back seat with her hands between her knees until her father pulled her forcibly out of the car and set her on her feet in the dirt. The house of their exile was ancient and dilapidated, its white siding weather-warped, its roof's shingles curling and covered with moss, and below the sharp peak of the house's second story, an enormous diamond-shaped window stared out from its gable like the Jack of Diamonds' lonely eye. But it wasn't the condition of the house that mattered, Jory knew, as much as its location. The house was safely hidden away on a back acre of Idaho farmland, far from any schools or churches or stores or neighborhoods. And it was this isolation for which Jory's father had paid. Privacy was of the utmost importance now, he had said. Or perhaps more correctly, the word he was looking for was secrecy. Her father unwedged the few taped-together boxes from the Buick's trunk. One at a time, he carried them up the house's peeling green steps and deposited them onto the living room floor. Jory stood, holding the screen door open and taking occasional, unwilling peeks at the dim interior of the house. A brown couch sagged dead cat-like against one wall. The portion of the floor she could see from the doorway was made of sloping hardwood and was partly covered by a gray-flowered rug that must have been bride-beautiful at some point, a very long time ago. Jory heard the car door slam. After a second, her sister came wandering up the porch steps. Grace leaned against the doorframe for a moment and then wobbled toward the couch, where she proceeded to lie down on her side, her face buried against one of the sofa's armrests.
I think that about does it.
Her father wiped his hands down the front of his khaki pants.
Yep,
he said, gazing about the room.
There you are.
Jory gave him a hard
Sample complete. Ready to continue?